From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Book of Romans as he brings the final portion of a message called The Restoration of Israel, an exposition of chapter 11. Because of its idolatry and apostasy, God rejected Israel. Yet God had made a covenant with Israel through Abraham, and he would keep that promise. In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul proves that God's rejection of Israel was neither final nor total. God's purpose of grace will be fulfilled. God had promised Abraham that in his seed all families of the earth would be blessed. As Dr. Cairns explains, that promise is the key to understanding what Paul termed the fullness of the Gentiles. The gospel will bring salvation to the Gentiles, Israel will be gathered in, and both will enjoy God's promise of millennial blessing. The result is that God will be glorified for what he has accomplished. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message in a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. The psalmist felt his need of divine guidance. He had just been discovering the foolishness of his own heart, and lest he should be constantly led astray by it, he resolved that God's counsel should henceforth guide him. A sense of our own folly is a great step towards being wise when it leads us to rely on the wisdom of the Lord. The blind man leans on his friend's arm and reaches home in safety. And so would we give ourselves up implicitly to divine guidance, nothing doubting, assured that though we cannot see, it is always safe to trust the all-seeing God. Thou shalt is a blessed expression of confidence. He was sure that the Lord would not decline the condescending task. There is a word for thee, O believer. Rest in it. Be assured that thy God will be thy counselor and friend. He shall guide thee. He will direct all thy ways. In his written word thou hast this assurance in part fulfilled, for Holy Scripture is his counsel to thee. Happy are we to have God's word always to guide us. What were the mariner without his compass? And what were the Christian without the Bible? This is the unerring chart, the map in which every shoal is described, and all the channels from the quicksands of destruction to the haven of salvation, mapped and marked by one who knows all the way. Blessed be thou, O God, that we may trust thee to guide us now, and to guide us even to the end. After this guidance through this life, the psalmist anticipates a divine reception at last, and afterward receive me to glory. What a thought for thee, believer! God himself will receive thee to glory, thee, wandering, erring, straying, yet he will bring thee safe at last to glory. This is thy portion. Live on it this day. And if perplexity should surround thee, go in the strength of this text straight to the throne.
Oh, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the road is all up yonder, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Oh, I'll be there, I'll be there.
Hallelujah.
When the road is all up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, I'll be there, singing glory, hallelujah. I'll meet you in the air. When the road is all up yonder, I'll be there.
And on that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the rose call that's yonder, I'll be there. Lay before the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
I want you to turn with me to the book of Zechariah. And I want you to turn to chapter 12. There's many a place here you could turn to, but we'll go to chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 6. Now, you'll notice throughout this section in Zechariah 12 and into 13, in that day, right through to the end of the book indeed, in that day, 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 do you get the impression God is trying to put a time scale here? Do you get the impression God is trying to draw? Well, let me rephrase that. Dr. Paisley taught me a long time ago, God doesn't try to do anything, he doesn't. Let us try to understand that God is emphasizing a particular time here. In that day, verse 6, will I make the governor of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like the torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about in the right hand and in the left. And notice this, Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And can you imagine after a statement like that, there are many learned commentators who say, we are not intended to interpret this as meaning Jerusalem at all. It's the church that's intended. It's a spiritual inhabiting. I am happy to see the spiritual application to the church. But when God says Jerusalem shall be inhabited in her own place, even in Jerusalem, is there any language known to man that could more clearly, positively, and demonstrably state the obvious? God is dealing with Jerusalem in its own place. Now then, verse 7, the Lord also shall see of the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now watch this carefully. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what happens at the coming of Christ. But you'll see immediately, this has huge, huge ramifications. Romans 11 demands, therefore, millennial blessing. That's why I said that when you come to Romans 11, amillennialism is a bankrupt hermeneutical system. Romans 11 demands millennial blessing. Watch it again very carefully. Verse 12, verse 15, verse 32. If the fall of the Jews be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Verse 32, that God might have mercy upon all. And any scheme that sees no restoration for Israel, that will lead to a spiritual enrichment for the whole world, is wrong. I believe that effectively removes amillennial schemes from all eschatological investigation. Now, both post-millennialism and premillennialism see worldwide blessing following the restoration of Israel. In that they agree. But there's this very important distinction. According to post-millennialism, the restoration of Israel comes a long time Some believe a literal 1,000 years, some believe a prolonged time. The restoration of Israel comes a long time before the second coming, which is post-millennial. It's after the millennium, whether a literal 1,000 years or a long period. So the restoration of Israel, according to post-millennialism, comes, say, 1,000 years or a long time before the second coming of Christ. But according to what we have read tonight, the restoration of Israel comes at and as a consequence of the second coming of Christ. Revelation 1 verse 7, they look on him whom they have pierced. What we have read tonight already in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, at that time of great mourning, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Revelation 1:7 makes it clear that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that day, Zechariah 13:1, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So what does that mean? Well, it means what I've been telling you all these years, that the only biblical scheme of eschatological interpretation is premillennial. And if that sounds dogmatic, it's intended to. So this is good for dealing with controversy. What we have read tonight, we should look upon as speaking to the issue of our confidence. Here's God's program for the future of the nations. And I want you to see something. The gospel will never cease to have its effect. The gospel is going to penetrate the Gentile nations. I don't say all those nations are going to be saved, but God has a people in them. And as among the Jews there is a remnant, there will be a remnant there. And again, if I may bring in the 7th of Revelation, at the very end, there will be such an explosion of spiritual power as that a great number which no man can number, a great multitude out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation, will be gloriously converted to Christ. Or the gospel will be preached in every nation, and Jesus is coming again. The Jews will be restored and received, and then shall we see the fullness of the gospel. Tonight we are living to see the gospel have its triumphs, and what triumphs we have to celebrate. Was not Pentecost a glorious triumph? Was not the Reformation a glorious triumph? Were not the mighty revivals that rocked England and America glorious triumphs? Yes, we have seen the triumphs. But as even Christian theologians at times have lamented, those triumphs seem to be so quickly swallowed up, engulfed in the ever-rising tide of wickedness in the nation. But let me tell you, there's a day coming when we will see the fullness of the gospel, and it will make everything that we have ever seen thus far seem like death, and it will be like resurrection. Then shall be fulfilled the words of Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. We may use what we have read tonight for our comfort. Verse 29, I said, is one of the most outstanding verses in all the Bible. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And that wonderful promise holds just as true for you as an individual believer as it does for the Jewish people. All upon whom God sets his purpose of grace may rejoice in this: his gifts and his calling are irrevocable. I am the Lord, he says in Malachi 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why do Christians not perish? Because they never feel? No, sir. Because they're supernaturally strong? No, sir. Because Jehovah does not change. As we read in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Thank God we come to this passage and we look at Israel and we see the purpose of God on track. And we say, thank God, there's comfort there for me. If you're a Christian here tonight and you're going through a rough and rocky period, the devil would come and hiss with the hiss of the serpent in your ear to tell you God has given you up. You might be saved, but you'll not make it finally to heaven. Just remember this: the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Now we come to the great conclusion. Read verses 33 to 36. May I invite you to memorize verses 33 to 36. Ponder these verses and let them fashion your thinking. Here is the great conclusion. Do you notice immediately the end of all doctrine? Not just Romans 11, but the whole final section of Romans. This is the summary of it all. The end of all doctrine, especially the study of the gospel, is worship. That's the purpose. We have been a long time looking at this doctrine of free justification, the imputed righteousness of Christ, the merits of Christ and made over to us fully to make us acceptable to God. I trust that having traversed this great tract of biblical doctrine, you are brought to the feet of the Lord Jehovah to worship. There are three elements in the worship. The greatness of God, verses 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. His judgments unsearchable, his ways untraceable. He's absolutely dependent upon none. The greatness of God. The grace of God, verse 35. Who hath first given to him, that is to put him under obligation, and it shall be recompensed to him again. Have we not learned in Romans that there's nobody can place God under obligation? There's nobody can say, I have earned salvation. I have earned nothing but hell. But Christ has earned the crown of glory for all his believing people. And then there is the glory of God. What a statement. Of him, that is from him. He is the source of all things. And through him, he is the sustainer of all things. And to him, he is the supreme goal of all things. To him be glory forever. Can I say to you tonight that if your conception of the gospel has not brought you to your face in humiliation before God, from the depths of your agony to cry, to him be all the glory, then you have never known the gospel. This is what the gospel does. To him be all the glory. I trust that God will write it upon our hearts. Some of us thought we would never reach the end of the what's called the doctrinal section. You'll find there's a whole lot of doctrine on what's left of Romans. It starts with the gospel of God, chapter 1. It ends with the glory of God, chapter 11, 36.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.